Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Serialites. Grim Shea here. Just want to let you know about a contest before we get going. This week, we're talking all about thundershorts.com. You'll hear lots more about it, and hopefully you'll head over there yourself. But if you're interested, we've got a couple of prize packs from the Thundershorts people, including boxers, shot glasses, sunglasses, and tramp stamps, all together in goodie bags, and you can get yours. For a chance to win, just email us at the show at SaturdayMorningSerial@yahoo.com, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at StayClassySDCC. All right, let's get to the show. Everybody, welcome to Matty P Presents Saturday Morning Serial. I'm Grim Shea, and joining me as always is Marky. Say hi to the people, Marky.
Hello, people.
And you know what, Marky? It's been a few weeks now, and I haven't even given you your due credit, I think. But for those of you listening on your computers, you probably notice our super snazzy high-tech graphic for the show now.
Oh, that's right.
That was entirely Marky's work, and he had an image for it of this old television.
My old television.
Your old television specifically, yeah. But certainly looks like all the TVs that we all watched Saturday morning cartoons on as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it does it. It brings us right back there, sitting on the couch, probably not even a remote. You got to go walk up and turn that click, click, clicker.
In my house, I was the remote.
Go.
That's how it works.
There you go. I don't know if we have to pay George Lopez for that joke or not, but it's a good one.
Oh, that doesn't mean he created the joke.
No.
I lived it. My life is a joke.
Yes, it is.
It was like one hit, change the channel. Two hits, go back. You know, like it was, that's how that worked.
But what I love about the graphic is it puts us in mind of TV as kids, which is what we try and recapture on this show.
Yeah.
But the truth is different, Marky. It's changing. I mention it quite a bit when we talk to people in the entertainment business about how, you know, the new Netflix binge watching, streaming, subscription kind of model for television is out there. But we haven't really addressed it because it is what we do when we watch television now is a far cry from what it was as kids sitting on a couch on Saturday mornings.
Yeah, but you know. It still encompasses what we grew up with. Let me give you a little example.
Lay it on me.
I was at the gym on the elliptical because my knees are shot to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring up the Netflix. I am not kidding. I'm watching Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends again. You know, I mean, it is so cool. And I have not seen that show. We're going on 30 years plus probably.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Speak for yourself, but yeah.
Probably. For me, yeah. I remember that episode. I remember that, you know, like I'm like sitting, I'm not sitting, I'm moving and watching this thing. And I'm like, I remember the episode, you know, where the old man gets cursed by Doom and then any wish he wants, he gets. Does that ring a bell to you?
Vaguely. I would have to, I think, see a little bit of it, but I would probably, I'd be back.
How does that stick in my head for 30 years?
6 years old, sitting on the couch going, this is the best thing ever.
Oh, I loved it. But, you know, it's...
Well, that points to that even though, you know, you paint that as a picture of it all just, it never changes. It's all there for me. That does point to a difference because you couldn't have done that, you know, 10, 15 years ago. The odds on you sitting on your couch watching TV and Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends just happens to come on. Pretty unlikely.
That's the difference. And the reason why, you know, we use the old television with the knobs as a symbolism for the show is to highlight that it was a different time back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a, you know, it's the same. What made good television then still makes good television, in quotes, television now. Mm-hmm. Whether you're seeing it on your phone or on your computer or whatever, it's still the same thing. And just to kind of allude to one of our guests here coming up, even though you're online and even though these shows are, you can stream them or you can binge watch them, they all get released on the same day, it doesn't matter, it still takes budget, it still takes time, and it still takes creative, thoughtful people to make quality television or entertainment or movies or whatever it is. But it's still the same. Those same things are still there. It's the modality is what's changed.
Well, let's just say, yeah, those same things are still there because they're a tried and true method. But I think things are changing so much, and people are experimenting with different approaches to producing content. You know, the industry for decades and decades, basically since it was born, has been in this one unchanging model for so long, but everything else, everything after that content is created is changing so much. I think it's inevitable. They're going to have to reconsider how it's done. Right now, I think most plans are, and how can we make the internet more like TV used to be?
Right.
And that is not a winning strategy in my mind. They've got to look at it differently. But for right now, there's still networks with studios, with budgets, with script supervisors from the network and notes going back and forth.
I actually think it's the other way around. It's the TV people that are trying to put it into the internet. That's what we're seeing.
Well, I disagree with you there.
That's why
Hulu's
invented
up on the internet.
Yeah, but they're basically just trying to compete in this new world. They're trying to have it both ways. Maybe they're both kind of going on at the same time. You have internet providers traditionally that like Netflix or Amazon that are creating content and doing all those things. But at the same time, you have networks that are trying to compete in this new era, and they're the ones that are trying to get ahead of it a little bit, trying to put out the content. Now it's a simultaneous thing. They're basically saying, here's the show, and now it's unavailable in our app, like, immediately.
Yeah,
you know,
it seems like they're just making concessions, though, I think, to the fact.
I get that feeling, too.
Now, I remember back in the 80s, back before DVDs, and when VHS tapes, it was mostly a rental game. You rented movies. And then the idea crept into the public consciousness that maybe we could go out and just buy these movies.
Mm-hmm.
This was back in the 80s, and I remember specifically how studios were very frightened by that idea. It took them long enough to get used to the idea of renting out movies, and now the idea of selling a movie outright to a private consumer. The first movies, and you can look this up because I'm so sure of it, the first VHS movies cost you about $90 to $100.
I remember that.
Because the studio said, that's the only way it's worth it to us.
Yeah, yep. I remember that, which is why the FBI got involved. And every time you started a VHS tape, it was a big old fat FBI warning because it was just like, you better have paid $90 for this or we're coming after your ass. You know,
it didn't take long, though, for that price point to start dropping.
Well, and
they
realized it wasn't,
if people are willing to buy enough of them, it doesn't hurt our business. It makes it better. And they start dropping to, you know, I think it was 30. While inflation is climbing up through the 80s, the price of VHS tapes was plummeting.
Right. I think it was it didn't really drop until probably 1994. 1993.
Oh, no, it was
this is how I remember that.
By then.
No, because I can remember this because I remember Pulp Fiction being the last, like, $90 VHS.
Oh.
I do. I bought it. I remember this.
For $90?
That's how much it cost.
No.
Yes, I was there.
I was already in the Columbia House Club getting them for like a...
There were other movies at the time that were a little cheaper, but I do remember that Pulp Fiction was one of the last holdouts. So this was around the time of Forrest Gump and all that stuff. So it took 15 years for that price to probably drop. you know, and for it to stay down, you know, that you
I remember it was generally about $20 to $25 per tape, I think, in the early 90s. When
Blockbuster,
I was a kid going through catalogs and building up my
Blockbuster
collection.
Would charge you the full, you know, $85, $75 if you'd lost one of their damn tapes.
Oh, they were,
and that was even at a time where you can go to the Walmart and get it for $25, but you still have to pay them $80.
But then they
were also calculating
that.
Lost revenue and all that stuff,
yeah,
which is
still sticking to a broken script.
Which
and
is why
that's
I say
why
fuck them when they went
gone.
Down.
Yeah.
I hate their asses.
That's just one example of how they stepped in to fill kind of a role, but then technology quickly ate them up.
Yep.
Because before Blockbuster. Even before Blockbuster was in every town, when their mom-and-pop video rental stores came up, and they would have to shell out so much to get the titles on the shelf, and then you would rent them for a day, and that scared the studios to the point where they started pricing their movies at $100 for a VHS copy of Burt Reynolds' Safe Cracker or whatever it was.
I've seen that.
Oh, did it cost you $90?
I rented it.
But the evidence is there. If you look at that as kind of a metaphor, the consumers won. The studio said, oh, all right, we were holding on too tightly. You know, we should have just embraced this from the get-go.
Because
DVDs came and replaced that, yeah. and the whole style went on. But then the next step is your streaming.
It's got to be more direct,
and
right?
And somewhere in there, video piracy online, I'm sure, plays a big role. I don't want to get
that's
too far into that.
And will always
but that
be.
Just showed the studios that no matter what steps you take, your stuff is going to be made available.
Right.
The technology is out there.
Whether
so
you get a piece of it or not, it's going to be out there.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of heralded the change, and we're still struggling with it, I think is what it is, because I think a lot more changes have to go down there on the production side, because there's stuff that we as an audience just will and will not put up with our mobile platforms and our, call me up in 1992 and say, hey, this is me, Grim from the future. Hey, I only have a minute to talk to you because I'm going to go watch a movie on my phone. It's ridiculous. The sentence wouldn't make sense.
It wouldn't make sense. Like,
you wouldn't be able
watch
to
it whenever you
what
want
you,
to.
What are you talking about?
Just watch it whenever
a movie
you want
on
to.
Your phone.
Yeah.
You know, but it's commonplace now, and it's to the point where it's expected. If you go out and buy a new smartphone, it turns out you can't stream certain video websites, you'll get mad. You'll think you had it coming,
well,
and you've been cheated.
Just to highlight how far it has come, there's an episode of Freaks and Geeks where the tall, lengthy geek, Havlicek, I think was his name, the Weirs are throwing a party, and they have a kegger. And there's like this scheme to substitute it for non-alcoholic beer. That's not important. The important part is that this kid gets invited to his friend's party where there's going to be beer. And, of course, he wants to go, but this is the night Dallas is on. And so there's, you know, in the early 80s, it's not a given that every house has a VHS. It's not even a given that even if you had one, that you could afford the $20 price tag for a blank VHS tape. Right.
And then so if you can figure out how it works and nobody tapes over it.
Oh, and we could have figured out.
Maybe you've got.
It took my house years to figure out how to get the cable channels to go through the VCR.
Yeah.
I mean, right. It was a complicated process. But what I thought about when I was watching this particular episode, and I saw this show 10 years ago, but I do remember thinking to myself, there was a time where. Yeah, you just totally had to bend your life around your show schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I have this very deep memory of crying, like literally crying tears, and yelling at my mom because she let me fall asleep for Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, I
missed
remember.
A week of Dukes
I remember
of Hazzard.
A couple episodes like that when
yeah.
I was a kid. Yeah,
you know, like that is over. That is
mm-hmm.
gone.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that I'm using this technology. Where I find the entertainment value, and thank God for Thunder Shorts on this one, because I think this is where they got it right, is that it can't just be guys getting kicked in the nuts all the time on the internet. It's got to have real production and value and creativity. That's what I'm craving. And even though there's all these new modalities and all these new way to watch film and it's on my schedule, I'm still watching Spider-Man His Amazing Friends. You know, if Family Ties was on Netflix, I'd probably watch it. You know, like, you know, it's the same show. It's the same quality. It's just on my schedule. That's where it's good. Thunder Shorts is bringing you real awesome content made by creative people that you would normally have to pay to see, and now you get it for free.
Oh, that's, you know, I'm glad that you've now repeatedly brought up Thunder Shorts, because I do think this is a unique opportunity. Thundershorts.com, on the internet, live as of June 26th, Thursday. So it's already happened. You can go there right now, people. Mm-hmm. And it is, for convenience sake, I'm going to say it's kind of like Funny or Die, just because that's already in the lexicon. You understand what I'm saying there. But it's a new platform, network, if you will, if we're still using that parlance, to present new, we'll call them TV shows.
But serialized
what they really
television
are,
shows.
Are, yeah, produced, semi-scripted, five-minute episodes.
There's
of comedic.
That's the key difference in, like, between that and like a Funny or Die. Funny or Die, in my experience with it anyway, it's really just funny one-off skits. Mm-hmm. You know, a baby at the door collecting bills or whatever.
Go back to the well a few times.
Maybe, but these are episodic. You know, these are shows, like real...
Yeah. Or web series, which have already existed before now.
But better
no
than
one
that,
knows how, what to do
better
with
than that. They're like web sitcoms is what they are.
Yeah.
You know?
Which, again, has been something that's been around for years. And you've got plenty that have shown up and then disappeared. You've got some that have met, like Children's Hospital was just a web series for a long time. Adult Swim picked it up, and now they're actually on television. Although, of course, you can still see them on the web because that's how it works.
And guess
everything
what? A lot of those guys are on our...
Oh, yeah. And you do have a lot of that talent from Children's Hospital is working with Thunder Shorts now. They are sort of the old vanguard already of web series.
If you go to thundershorts.com right now, there are... I think there's four or five different episodes. I'm sure we'll get more into that in a second. But the guest list already is Jim Gaffigan, Janine Garofalo...
Michael Showalter.
Michael
course,
Showalter.
His own,
that's his own
Lewis
show.
Lewis
Black was
Todd Barry.
They're already lining up right now to get on this particular network, and I'm saying network, even though it's a website. But
it's hard not to. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I'm the one who's saying we need to start thinking differently, but without looking at it in that kind of framework as this is television, but it's on the internet. And they still produce what they want to, but I get to choose what and when to watch. We're as a society now, we're struggling to figure out exactly what television is now. Mm-hmm. And I think we are in just a little middle area, and we're in between. Not a bad place to be, but we literally don't know what's coming in 5 or 10 years. Luckily, though, with the premiere of Thundershorts.com this week, we did get to talk to a lot of the guys involved. And first of all, I wanted to go and get kind of the executive's opinion.
Yeah, because those guys don't have enough to say usually. and no power whatsoever.
Well, this already you can tell that Thunder Shorts is doing it right, because their head of development and the managing editor over at their parent company, snagfilms.com, is a gentleman by the name of Michael Pelosic, who is the, as I said, managing editor at Snag Films. That sounds like a real businessy title. Head of development now for Thunder Shorts. Again, pretty, you know, he's not saying he's making any shows, but he's head of development. Sounds like a guy who actually has to look at the ledgers. Luckily, this is also a gentleman who spent years as a comedy writer. In fact, was the head writer over at The Onion for their digital production house.
Funny stuff, by the way.
Made, you know, their show for IFC and whatnot. So obviously talented and understands what it's like to be a content creator. So I really think we should go over and listen to what he has to say, because we pick his brain about it for a little bit. So take us over there, Magic Interview Machine. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I am Grim Shea, as always, joined by Mark E., as always. And we are talking to Michael Polosik.
How you guys doing?
We're good. Thank you so much for talking to us today. I think, and before I try and pretend I know exactly what you do, I think I'm going to have you explain this. Because I know you're the managing editor over at snagfilms.com.
Yeah, but I also know title.
That's on the business card.
Exactly. That's the business card, managing editor at Snag Films. And then I'm also the head of development, kind of creative guy for this new initiative called Thunder Shorts that we're doing, which is comedy, web video, fun things. So it's kind of, I'm doing, you know, about seven jobs at once at this point, but it's all good. All fun stuff.
Well, are they like under the same umbrella? Is thundershorts.com part of Snag Films?
Yeah, so Snag Films is the kind of parent company, and that's a lot of indie film, social cause documentary. They're getting more into web series now. I'm doing a lot of stuff with that. And then under the Snag Films umbrella, we've got IndieWire, which is a really well-known kind of industry news source. Huh. And then Thunder Shorts, which is brand new and which is kind of our version of the comedy web series hub, you know, Funny or Die or the Above Average or something like that. But better than both of those combined, obviously.
Yes, obviously. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, as we talk right now, maybe not as the audience hears this, but as we talk, this is day one for Thunder Shorts. You have gone live, as they say in the business.
Yep, we went live. We're encountering every little thing that we can, you know, fix with the website and everything that happens on the day you go live. But yeah, we're live today. People can go to thundershorts.com and have a they can watch the first four pilots for our four big web series. We've also got a bunch of exclusive kind of web series that have been maybe out there before on YouTube or Vimeo or something like that, but stuff that we really believed in that we wanted to kind of bring into the fold. And so now they're on Thunder Shorts. So you can head on to thundershorts.com and check it out anytime.
Now, I can say at about 12:30 this morning, Coast time, I gave it a try. I went over there. I watched like three of them in a row, no problems, no hiccups. Very impressive for going live, sir.
Awesome. I will take it. Yeah, there hasn't been a lot of technical issues so far, so that's great. Not that I was anticipating that. Look, I don't want this interview to be about technical issues with the website.
Well, the minute this interview airs, of course, expect all your servers to be overloaded. It's just
exactly.
A sad fact, and that's how it is. But we'll get back up. We'll get back moving. So you are the developer for the entire channel.
Yes, exactly. People pitch ideas to me and to a small team that we have here, and we kind of all decide what we want to go with. I'm a comedy writer myself, and so I, you know, I'm pretty involved in, I mean, a lot of the people who are coming to us are, you know, things don't need a ton of work, and so it's just like little notes here and there, and we kind of collaborate. I, you know, help them produce these things. We've got a producer here who works with us who's amazing, and she's the one who's, like, on set and handling the budgets and everything like that, and we kind of make sure that we can get, you know, some production budgets for these people and have them go make funny things that we can put on the web. And it's been a crazy couple months as we get this thing going, but very excited. Today's the day, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, you've got some pretty big comedy names pitching you ideas and putting this together. There's some more than decent pedigree there. You got Michael Showalter, Ted Alexandro, and you said you're opening with four episodes, right?
Well, yeah, we're opening with
four
different series, right? Exactly. And yeah, I mean, we got super, you know, lucky with just the amount of talent that there is out there. I think that there's not a ton of places that are kind of good homes for web series right now. So we got super lucky with Ted Alexandro. Is great. Obviously, he's like a comedian. Who I've followed for a long time, super hilarious. And, you know, he had made a couple of these Teacher Challenge episodes. He wanted to make a lot more. He wanted to the Kickstarter, which just tipped the other day, which is so great. And we helped them kind of with a distribution plan and all that stuff, and helped, you know, help them make a couple of the episodes. And the show also show is great. It came to us through some NYU grads who made it as a pilot for their, I think it was their senior project or something in grad school. And then and the pilot was so great, and we kind of turned it into a web series. So, like, everything has had kind of a different genesis. We're in the Wild West a little bit, but it's really fun. Every project is completely different. There's another show called Gabe and Max Need Help with these two comedians who Gabe Delahaye and Max Silvestri, who I've, you know, followed forever. It's like, and they're so unbelievably funny, and their show is great. It has Kumail Nanjiani in it from Silicon Valley. So it's just like that, you know, I feel super lucky that we've gotten these people on board and they're trusting us with their show. Pretty great.
And I'm glad you used the term in the Wild West there, because we're still talking in terms like networks, pitching, producing, series, parent companies, and I'm sure somewhere up there Rupert Murdoch is signing all your paychecks. But
yes,
but
exactly.
It doesn't work. But it doesn't work that same way anymore, because when we're saying series now, what we're talking about are literally 5-minute shorts, which you're trying to do sort of under the banner of traditional television. And we're talking about how important it is to sort of group them together in one place on the internet as a network. But this is a totally different take on television. Is there some kind of disconnect there between how the content is being made and the fact that the demands are so different now?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's trying to figure out what's going to work. I mean, it's been a really learning curve for me, and I think for everyone, it's kind of you test things, you see what's going to work. I mean, we've got our shows on Thunder Shorts, we've got our shows up on YouTube, we're going to have them up on, you know, Xbox and Roku and things like that, just so to get them to as wide an audience as possible. And I think it's no one quite knows what it's going to work, but you use the language that you know, and we all know the language of seasons and you know, pilots and all that stuff. And so it's kind of, I mean, I totally take your point about kind of fitting this increasingly kind of archaic vocabulary and model into a structure that might not fit for it, but it's kind of, that's sort of the fun of it in a weird way. I don't know. It's been really crazy. And, you know, I mean, we're doing kind of, oh, we'll do 5 episodes of this, we'll do 9 episodes of this, and it'll be season 1 of Teacher's Island or season 1 of our show Don't Walk or something like that. But, you know, we've also said, hey, if there was a series, actually, there is a series, I don't know why I'm talking theoretically, there's a series that we took on exclusively called Augie Alone that is guy Augie Fraley, who's a really funny, you know, really great writer, really funny comedian, and he's made almost over 100 of these videos that he just makes in his room alone. And I know that sounds terrifying, but they're really funny. and he's also making a feature film, and that one is not him alone in his room.
Good. I'm glad you're
open to all these. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know if I would want to watch the dude alone in the room for 2 hours, but Augie's funny enough that it might work. But yeah, so we're kind of like, hey, we'll try that. You know, maybe we'll release an Augie Alone. We're kind of playing around with the model, but yeah, I mean, we're open to everything. Someone came to us with an idea that was, you know, it's not a 7-episode web series of 5-minute episodes, but it was funny enough and we liked it. We'd be totally open to it for sure.
All right, well, let's look forward a little bit, and let's say you've got, like, real success on your hands. Not that you don't already, but, you know, you're starting to make the cover of Time or the digital issue of Time or something, and
sure.
and it's becoming apparent to the Bean Counters, you've got to get some revenue off of this success. And
yeah.
Even with the changing content production, that's still the language they know. So,
yeah, of course.
And it's free now. And I like that. And I think one of the great things about snagfilms.com, so we should probably go into it more, but free things that you might be able to find elsewhere, but a lot of documentaries, a lot of indie stuff that has a home there, and you offer it up for free as opposed to the subscription streaming model. And
yeah, exactly.
Are you ruling out the possibility that we might see a Snag Films or at the very least Thunder Shorts subscription model somewhere down the road?
I mean, I wouldn't rule it out, but I don't. It's not something that has ever actually crossed my mind, because it's just I don't think people want to pay for much of anything these days. But the cool thing about Snag Films and Thunder Shorts is that someone's paying for it. It's an advertiser. You know what I mean? Like, we're ad supported, and so it's much like TV. You know what I mean? So it's kind of it's free to you as long as you have an internet connection, but the exchange there is that you watch a 15-second ad for, I don't know, car insurance or whatever it is. And so I think that people get that these days. They're into it. I've never considered doing a kind of paid subscription service. I mean, if we were doing stuff that we thought people would pay for, I think that might be a different story. But I think that web comedy is such a thing that you can get in so many different places that I just don't think consumers are like trained to think of it as something that you pay for in a weird way. I mean, it's an interesting conversation, and I think it's when you get from, you know, someone's web series on YouTube that they've made for free to a comedy series on HBO that people are paying monthly subscription services for. It's kind of like where there's very fine lines there of what people will shell out and why they'll open their wallet.
I think, once an audience has been found, they do not, like, change. I think, you know, Reed Hastings almost lost his head with Netflix over, like, $3 a month or something like that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Which I almost kind of meekly stand in the back of the room and say, well, I would have paid it.
Well,
I thought it was reasonable.
And actually, I just got this email from Netflix not too long ago where they're going to raise it anyway. It's just they're just going to start to kind of nickel and dime it. They're going to kind of tick it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's all going to come.
Well, I think right now if you sign up, it's, you know, $10 a month
now
or something. But since the rest of us, we still got a couple years until that clicks. I don't know. Maybe he did it all on purpose.
You just find that line. I mean, I was stealing my friend's HBO Go for the longest time so I could watch Game of Thrones. And then I realized that, like, oh, you know what, this never works on the night, and I really want to watch the finale live. So is it worth it for me to pay the $15 for the month if I'm getting two episodes of Game of Thrones out of it? And I was like, you know what, I will pay $7 for two episodes for an episode of Game of Thrones, $7.50.
Yeah, why not?
And then I canceled it right after. And while I had it, DVR, Pacific Rim or whatever it was. But but it's just that thing of kind of doing the internal math and all that stuff. I mean, I'm also a weird person, I guess, where I would think of it that way. But but I think that people, it's just like you got to have something that people are willing to pay for. And I think that, I mean, I would pay, you know, untold amounts of money for all these awesome web series that we've done, but I think that people are so trained on the internet, they'll just watch funny comedy. But the cool thing about it, like I said, is that we're ad-supported, and so that money, you know, it goes to MacBones, but it also goes to the creators who split the money 50-50, you know. So it's kind of a good deal for everyone all around. You know, people get web series with these awesome comedians, and the creators get money either in the form of production money or in the form of splitting the ad revenue 50-50 or both, and then, you know, it kind of work out for everybody.
Yeah. Sounds like you pinko commies are having a grand old time down there.
Yeah, exactly.
I was actually gonna ask about this because I'm more interested in, like, the whole business end of it. I mean, you are the editor.
Sure.
You're kind of in charge of this stuff, and what I see kind of happening here is that we are finally monetizing the internet for the creators that actually do this. I mean, if you look at the fat kid with the Darth Maul lightsaber and how many views that got and how embarrassed he, you know, he got nothing out of that, you know. And so finally there's, you are not the first to kind of tap your toe into this area, but you know, you actually have a place where a content provider, where a creative person can actually develop something, produce something, get it out there, get it seen, and yeah, see a little bit of coin at the end of it. And I just think that that is awesome. That's where it's going. And so
yeah,
my hat's
exactly.
off to you.
I mean,
well, it's been a pretty rocky road so far, though.
Yeah.
In fact, Michael, I assume, as you mentioned earlier, you've been a comedy writer for quite some time, head writer down at Onion Studios, I've been led to believe, and kudos to you on that.
Yeah,
that's a decent pedigree there.
I was promoted to head writer of Onion Digital Studios just as they shut it down. So, I don't
that's
think
right.
it was my fault, but
you went out on top.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But I would assume that being in that business, you were, or more likely still are, part of the Writers Union and the whole strike from 07, I think.
Totally.
Were you?
Yeah. No, I'm a WGA member myself. I mean, we haven't really broached that subject yet here, but it's definitely on the horizon. I think if we get successful enough, I think of myself as on the side of the creators every step of the way. And so, you know, I'm also a very pro, you know, labor guy, I guess. And so it's definitely like something where I want to see the creators of these things taken care of. I also, you know, I want to do right by the people who work here at Nightfalls and who have like trusted us with this, you know, with these production budgets and things like that. But I also want to do right by the creators 100%. I probably will get fired for saying something like that, but I'm just kidding. I won't at all.
Well, what did you think of the outcome of that strike? Some people say it was kind of an empty victory at best.
Yeah, you know,
they usually are.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I wasn't in the union at the time, and so I actually don't know that much about what. Uh-huh. I mean, I've heard, but I don't know too much about what the ins and outs of how it actually all, you know, were. I know it kind of like felt like a victory at the time. A lot of people were saying it wasn't, 100%. Or kind of like kind of ended on the management terms and all that kind of stuff, but I don't know too much about it, unfortunately.
Well, I think that's just another one of those growing pains, I'm guessing, this changeover is going to be difficult, and if the whole world was free, nobody would bother watching, so.
Yeah, exactly.
So the suit's got to be right somewhere.
Right, it's super important to get, as you said, like not everything is going to be, a season of Cheers, 22 episodes for 7 years for every writer. So I think it's kind of interesting. You hear a lot about that going on these days where there's obviously still the people who get, you know, TV staff writing jobs and who write movies and things like that. But then you also have a lot of people who make a living, an okay living, just kind of piecing together. There's a web series here. I'll work on that. It's important to get those people taken care of just as much as anybody, I think. So I think we're entering this world where there's so many more opportunities, but the opportunities that are there, that there are more of, are maybe not like, oh, here's a living wage for 40 years. It's more like, here's like, you know, a chunk of money for that can get you through the next couple months. Here's this, that, you know,
yeah.
That kind of thing.
There's 2 months rent and some groceries. And
right.
hard to become a captain of industry on something like that. But,
no,
you know, like I said, it's a changing industry that,
totally.
For better or worse, I think the ball is rolling downhill. I grew up watching TV. I love TV, loved it as a kid. I love it now.
Yeah.
And I see the differences. And I'll plunk down in front of my laptop now and watch stuff on the internet that 5 minutes before that I had no idea I would be watching, as opposed to the different, you know, the rigid regular schedule of, you know, 9 channels on your TV that was out in the living room.
Right, exactly.
And
yeah,
thank God for that.
I mean, yeah, it's interesting. It's a weird, I don't think anybody quite knows. I mean, I think everybody's been saying this for the last 20 years, but I don't think anybody knows what it's going to look like in 5 years. You know what I mean? It's just so crazy. And I don't think anybody was predicting that Netflix would be a huge player in the TV game, in the original TV game, a couple of years ago. So really, kind of crazy.
Yeah, we were all supposed to be living on the moon now. Our TV wasn't supposed to change like this. So, yeah, we don't have a blueprint.
And where are the hoverboards? There's no hoverboards.
Yeah, that's a safety
issue. I'm waiting for the moon colony for sure. That's the end game of Thunder Shorts is moon colony.
I knew it. Moon domination. Before I let you go, I just want to remind you, you are now a curator of this new baby infant form of internet comedy. So raise her well.
Yes, I will.
I'm going to need to show my kids something someday when they finally are born. So, thank you so much for your work, Michael. Anything else you want to plug
real quick?
You got a lot going on that old interweb.
This is great. Thank you so much for talking to us. If you're interested in oniony comedy, definitely check out. I'm writing with a lot of guys who I wrote with at The Onion. For stuff for Adult Swim and some other networks right now. It's called Wild Aggressive Dog. We're Wild Aggressive on Twitter, and we do a lot of weird infomercials. We wrote, a bunch of weird series. So that's like a fun thing. I'm still kind of writing with a bunch of my favorite Onion people. So I would plug that if people want to check that out. Wild Aggressive on Twitter.
Wild Aggressive Dogs. I'm absolutely going to check that out. And I hope that. And you know what? I heard about this new place, thundershorts.com. You might be able to get in there.
Thundershorts.com. No, I mean, that's clearly what this whole thing is designed to plug. That's what I want to plug. It's Thundershorts. everyone should check out Thundershorts Live today. I feel unbelievably lucky that all these people have trusted us with their series. And we're going to do right by them and make sure that there's good comedy on the Internet. Finally, I mean, there's never been comedy on the Internet before, which is,
finally, you put it there.
Exactly.
I think it's going to take off, too.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you guys talking about this stuff. It's really cool, and it's fun to kind of think about it in macro terms.
Good. As long as we got in your head.
Yeah,
all right, everybody.
Exactly.
Don't forget snagfilms.com, a little bit of a Netflix alternative, ad-supported, but free to watch. And there's actually, I joined up just yesterday, and I've already looked through a very impressive library, kind of a thinking man's back catalog.
Lots of really cool stuff.
And since it costs you nothing, better go check it out. Thanks again, Michael. Have a good one,
and
I hope to see more success.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much. Thanks. This was great. Thanks.
Oh, the kids are after me Lucky Charms. Whoops! I make a balloon and take off with the crunchy oat cereal with marshmallow surprises. Pink hearts, yellow moons, orange stars, green clovers, and blue diamonds.
Sounds perfectly delicious.
Yikes!
Where are your Lucky Charms?
Right here, my friends. They're part of this good, nutritious breakfast.
Frosted Lucky Charms!
They're magically delicious.
They're magically delicious!
So there we go. We learned a little bit of what those in charge of the new, and I'm doing air quotes here for people who can't see me, networks and suits are supposedly going to be looking like.
For whatever we could hear, sound quality was kind of crappy on that call.
You think you would have produced that a little better, right?
No. Oh, we have to deal with it from time to time. So,
but we didn't just talk to Michael. We weren't just talking to the guys in the boardroom on this one. We also, in celebration of this release of Thundershorts.com, we also talked to a couple other guys. First, we talked to Ted Alexandro, and especially if you're in the New York area, you may be familiar with him. He's a staple comedian over there, known as a comics comic. I don't know if that's probably going to annoy him, but I'm going to call him that anyway. And he is producing another one of the shows over at Thunder Shorts called The Teacher's Lounge. And we'll get into that. We'll ask him what he thinks about this new TV. And I don't know. We'll just judge him as a human being.
I have something to say about this Teacher's Lounge thing. Mostly it's that it was the dream to go into the Teacher's Lounge. It would open sometimes and you would see in there. And it was awesome.
An off-limits kind of environment. Yeah. But
and
it's
now,
not because it was dangerous. It's not because it was poisonous. It was just a power thing.
It was total elitist power.
And here comes Ted Alexandro to just smash that border.
to show us how ridiculous it is.
To tear down that wall and start the revolution, I guess.
So, yeah, let's just play this.
All right. Over to Ted.
Meanwhile.
Hey, everybody. It's still Grim Shea here, and I'm still with Mark E.
Hi.
But now we're talking to the great Ted Alexandro. I hope you don't mind if I use this term, and you must be sick to death of it, but a comics comic.
No, I'll never get tired of that because I think that's what everyone aspires to be, so I'll gladly accept that.
Oh, and a gracious comics comic. Look at that, everybody.
Sure,
all right, well, if you're not familiar with this man, then you're probably – don't really spend time in New York, but he's a fixture there. Thanks to Comedy Central over the years, I've seen some of your specials, but for the most part, you are like old school, like stand-up comedy in its purest form,
yeah.
As I understand.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I've been doing stand-up for about 20 years now, started here in New York, and came up really during the golden age, at least in my opinion, of, you know, watching guys like in the early days, Louis Black, Louis C.K., Dave Attell, a little later on, Dave Chappelle came along, guys like that, Todd Barry, you know, all the fixtures in the New York comedy scene. And then a little later on, I had the good fortune of going on the road with guys like Louis C.K. and Louis Black and Craig Ferguson. So it's been a real great education, you know, and coming up through New York, you know, some people say to me, like, how did you start in New York? Like, it seems so intimidating, but for me, you know, I grew up here, so it was where, you know, it was home. It was like I wasn't going to go to Des Moines, Iowa to start my comedy career. I was here, so it turned out to be a good education.
You apparently learned something, because as you were just naming some of those legendary comedians, it also kind of sounds like a breakdown of your guest star list on your new show, Teacher's Lounge, which I know comes from like an older concept of yours, but
yeah.
I guess that really just cements the fact that you're a comedian's comedian.
There it is again.
Well, you know, yeah. I think the fact that I came up through the New York system, developed relationships with all these great comics over the years and friendships. It's really all there in kind of in the final product of my web series, Teacher's Lounge, in which I play the music teacher. My buddy Hollis James plays the janitor. We co-created the show. And in every episode, we're just hanging out in the teacher's lounge, and a great comedian comes in playing a faculty member. So in the premiere episode that just came out, Jim Gaffigan plays the school nutritionist. And,
which is ridiculous.
And Mr. Yeah, exactly. And it's just, you know, it goes from there. I mean, we got Louis Black as the school principal, and Judy Gold is the gym teacher. Janine Garofalo plays she makes the public address announcements that begin every episode. Todd Barry's the librarian. You know, it goes on and on. We got really the cream of the crop, really to our good fortune, because we kind of asked these people, just hoping they would be available and be willing to do it. And sure enough, everybody said yes. So it really, you know, came out to be a pretty incredible experience.
Yeah, it's an awesome little format. Just, you know, like you said, it's pretty standard with web series. You get shorter episodes, but you get about 5 minutes. Clearly there's some scripting. There may be, I'm sure it's hard to always stick to just the written word, but then you just get talent together in a room for 5 minutes, and you don't even charge me to watch it. What a deal.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The basic concept when Hollis and I put this together was we would script it, but we would leave room for improvisation, because we figured it would be foolish to bring in talent of this caliber and not let them riff and let them kind of find their rhythm and do what they do. So that was part of the beauty of it for us, was, you know, leaving that room for them to improv and then seeing what they came up with, which was just ridiculous and hilarious. And really wound up ruining a lot of takes because we couldn't help ourselves from laughing, you know. So, it really came out great.
It's one of the shining jewels in the launch of this thundershorts.com website that we're talking about today.
Yeah, that's right. And we got kind of lucky because, you know, we were kind of wondering, you know, this is a do-it-yourself kind of indie project that Hollis and I put together. And we were wondering, like, where are we going to find a home for this? You know, we were kind of, you know, we just wanted to find a place that would really cultivate it and let us do what we do and kind of not get too involved, you know, just kind of be more of a champion for the show. And luckily, Thundershorts.com came on board to distribute it and to help us get it out there. And they've been fantastic. You know, and they have a bunch of shows on Thundershorts.com. They have Michael Showalter's new show, American Viral. They have Max Silvestri's show, Gabe and Max. And then, of course, Teacher's Lounge. So, you know, we're pretty excited to be part of that launch as well because, you know, like I said, they've really been great champions for the show.
Yeah, they want to, and, you know, basically they want to be a home. And they're using you as an example. So I guess I don't know who's more desperate in this situation.
It's the perfect marriage of desperation on both sides because, you know, I think, you know, for any artist, you really just want somebody who's going to believe in the vision and stay out of the way as much as possible. And with Thundershorts, they haven't stayed out of the way, they've been involved in the positive sense in that pretty much everything they've done has just helped us get this project completed, you know, whereas we started it maybe 2 years ago. So only yesterday did, you know, we had done a Kickstarter to help kind of finish the funding so that we could pay the crew and pay for the rental of the school where we shot down on the Lower East Side of New York and pay for all of the equipment and, you know, all the things that go into a production of this level that, you know, we really wanted it to be professional. You know, we didn't want to just turn on our phones and shoot a little web series. We wanted it to be a showcase, you know. So, we're really happy with how it all turned out.
That's actually kind of surprising. With all that free young labor, you know, that's available at a school, I don't see why you have to pay anybody.
Yeah. Is this just a union thing? What?
This is true. We could have got some of the kindergarten kids, I guess, to hold lights and whatnot if we thought it through.
Yeah, those little hands can, you know. Yeah.
Just buy them a couple of ladders, but that's all right. As you grow on and you keep producing the show, you'll learn where to cut corners. I believe in you, Ted. Don't worry about it.
That's right.
Yeah. I just have to become a little more of a hardened veteran. I think this was my first production, so I didn't realize we could exploit children as easily.
Oh, yeah. Give it time. You'll catch up with the rest of us. We could go out and buy little mic stands for our studio here, but no. I've got little Timmy holding this up, and his arm is starting to shake.
There you go.
And that's how you produce. Don't worry. You'll get it down.
I'm learning from the best.
But actually, this is true. You really are. This is a new kind of comedy in a way. Well, it's a new kind of TV in a way. We're all going Netflix. We're all going streaming and subscriptions and Hulus. And Thundershorts is potentially getting in right there on the ground level of the way TV is going to work.
Plus, I want TV that I can watch while I'm taking a poop.
Everybody wants it. That's the dream.
Yeah, this is definitely poop material. That's what we were going for when we sat down to write. Yes. In fact, we wrote a lot of it on toilet bowls. So, yeah, I think it's fitting. I think what you're saying is very true in that it doesn't really matter where things air now because everyone's going to ultimately watch it most likely on their computer or streaming on their smart TV or on their phone and what have you. So where it comes from doesn't matter as much. So for us, as, you know, like I said, kind of an indie do-it-yourself production, the most important thing for us was, like, let's just make this thing exactly the way we want to make it with the people that we want to make it with. You know, which I don't really think we would have been able to do had a network gotten involved. You know, a lot of times they micromanage things or they change the casting or they you know, they just get involved in ways that kind of turns the project into something other than what you intended. So with Thunder Shorts, it was the best of both worlds in that, you know, it was the vision exactly the way we wanted, with the people we wanted to work with, and that it's going to be stuff people can watch while they hoop.
I think it's evolution. Yeah, it started with, you know, black and white TV in the 40s, and now I'm pooping on my phone.
Yeah. That's right. It all comes back full circle.
Well, I want to just a little departure here. When I was reading up about you, I learned some interesting facts. And first of all, the New York Comedians Coalition, like seriously,
yeah.
Comedians Union.
How did you pull that off?
Yeah, I've been bartending for years,
was,
and I'm never going to get these guys on board.
You know, I kind of thought the same thing about comedians when I kind of endeavored to get them together. There was a lot of grumbling in the comedian community around New York about the fact that the pay had been the same pretty much since the mid-'80s in the New York comedy club scene. So in 2001, I decided to write a petition to the clubs asking for a pay raise. And I went around, and this was like in the early stages of internet. You know, there was no Facebook. People just kind of had emails. People didn't really have smartphones yet or anything of that nature. So it was a lot of kind of grassroots organizing to get people to physically sign this petition. And I got about 100 people, you know, everyone from Louis C.K. and Colin Quinn, Dave Attell, on down to, you know, new comics that were coming up in the scene. And we were able to get a raise. It went from, at that point, $50 for a weekend set in New York to $65. And then about 6 years later, we revisited the issue, and along with Russ Meniv and a few other comics, it became, you know, the first time it was just that petition. The second time around, it became more of a proper movement where we had about 300 comics involved. And we were having meetings and discussions. There was talk of unionizing. But ultimately, we settled on this kind of pseudo-union called the New York Comedians Coalition. And we got yet another pay raise to an average of about $80 to $85 on the weekends. So, you know, within the course of 7 years, the pay nearly doubled. And it was due to the fact that we, you know, we organized. And I'll tell you, to this day, it's one of the things I'm most proud of in my comedy career, because you know, it made a difference for all of us.
Well, it can, and you know, on a number of levels, it can seem intimidating, I think, for a group of comedians to go out and try to be taken seriously.
You know, it was an interesting experience for me, and a real growth experience for me, both in terms of my career and personally. Because at that stage, I was only, you know, we were talking about 14 years ago, I was only about 31 years old. So here I am with my little petition asking the likes of Dave Attell and Louis C.K. and, you know, these established guys, asking them if they'll sign Tracy Morgan, if they'll sign my petition. And, you know, there were some repercussions as well, where I got blacklisted from a couple of clubs as a result of organizing. You know, so there were interesting kind of developments, but like I say, to me, it was definitely worthwhile and definitely something that I'm proud of and that made a difference.
Oh, that's already in my head. I picture you like in a 1920s newsboy outfit and a bunch of
prison
guys with Louisville Sluggers are rushing towards you with fedoras on, and you're standing your ground, and by gosh, you just about doubled the pay. That's a success story, my friend.
Yeah, and then, yeah. It was like, luckily, it didn't end like Bonnie and Clyde or something like that.
Yeah.
You know,
it definitely adds a dynamic to the term stand-up comedian.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in an odd way, it's really informed a lot of the relationships that I subsequently formed with comedians throughout the New York scene. You know, it wasn't obviously my plan, But I think a residual effect was that I gained respect from guys who are now friends, you know, people like Lewis Black and Dave Attell and folks that are now in my web series Teacher's Lounge. Because, like I said, I was just kind of a young comic at that point, just kind of finding my voice and making my way. But I think in some way it distinguished me to them. And, you know, now 14 years later, we are friends, and they are in my series. So, it, you know, everything kind of, I think, in an odd way, everything kind of fit together.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's, union bosses tend to end up with a little more power and money than well anybody else. So I'd say good work. That's, you figured that one out. You cracked that nut.
Yeah, yeah. I made a couple of threatening phone calls, and everybody was on board.
That's right. This kind of brings me back to the way television, the medium and the production, the delivery method is all changing in these ways to where, and it led to like the WGA strike a few years ago, and content creators aren't really getting by far nowhere near the lion's share of the profit. But even the people looking for the real money are having trouble finding it on the internet, and they're not sure how to monetize all this. And it takes a lot of people doing digital or not grassroots movements to kind of sort it all out. So I think you're back on another forefront here by throwing your name into the web series ring and being part of a new platform for that. It's all growing and changing, and you've got to be aware of how much pressure is now on your head.
You know, for better or for worse, I think it's just how I'm built, you know. Like, I like to build things from the ground up and be involved in the creative process from the inception of the idea to the completion. I don't like just showing up as an actor or just showing up to do a set of stand-up. You know, like my last comedy special, I Did It is the name of it. I put that out self-produced and put it out using a pay-what-you-want model on my website. So, yeah, I think it's just kind of the way I'm built that I like to, you know, kind of have that direct link to people who like my work and to put it out and make it accessible. And I think the internet is great for that, you know, that it is very democratic and very direct to people who dig what you do. So, yeah, I hope you're right. I mean, I hope it is, you know, my decision wasn't so much that I want to be in the vanguard of moving things to the digital realm, but I hope what happens is that people keep making great content, and like you say, it would be nice if they figure out a way to monetize. The good thing is with Thunder Shorts, we own the idea, we own the show, so it's our baby, and we're excited.
All right, well, before I let you go, I just want to say, make sure and go check that contract.
Yeah.
You know, those shiesty MFers down at Thunder Shorts, who knows?
No, they've been great, and we did check the contract, and we're excited to be part of it. And most importantly, I just want to let people know that they can check out, you know, a whole slew of great comedy web series on thundershorts.com. One of which is our series, Teacher's Lounge, which will be rolling out weekly and just premiered with the first episode featuring Jim Gaffigan as the school nutritionist. So check that out.
Oh, I saw it. I loved it. I recommend it. Thank you again, Ted Alexander, for joining us. I look forward to seeing a lot more of you on the internet because I don't make it to New York very often.
There you go.
Hey, that's all right. Yeah, no, for sure. And you know, I know one thing that you guys will be spending a lot of time on the toilet these next 10 weeks, so we'll keep you occupied.
And I'll stock up on the fiber.
You know it.
That's right. That's right, fellas.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ted. We'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
That sounds great, guys. Anytime. I appreciate it.
Introducing the new talking cereal.
How's this? No.
What are you guys talking about?
The sound marshmallows make in our new Marshmallow Crispy cereal. You can't go snap, crackle, pop. Marshmallow.
Kellogg's Marshmallow Crispies is part of this complete breakfast.
Do you like them? Mm. That's the sound. Mmm.
That was Ted Alexandro, a New York comedy institution.
Yes, institution.
Really, I enjoy talking to him. I've seen his stand-up material,
mm-hmm.
and just knowing that, well, apparently other people get to see it all the time who live very far away from me. That's good. That makes me feel good enough. But now, thundershorts.com, I can catch him now.
And if you had any doubts as to his lineage, I mean, he sounds exactly like everybody at Matty P's Radio Happy Hour.
Yeah, I don't think he was faking the New York.
No, he is from New York, through and through. So yeah, that was pretty cool. He's funny as shit.
Yeah, well, yeah. It sounds like, I mean, the guy's got a certain amount of social responsibility too. We didn't get to talk about it in the interview, but I also understand he actually founded one of the Occupy movements. Like out in the Long Island Occupy movement. That was him.
Jeez.
And I don't, you know, I was kind of afraid to ask to find out maybe if it was just a joke or something. But no, I mean, especially with his work with the New York Comedians Coalition, I believe he's got the political chops and the civic responsibility to really mean it. So, well, that's enough. That's enough gushing. It's enough gushing on him because that is just one of many shorts over there. And I tell you, and I mean this when I say it. I enjoy all of them. But I think just based on the first 5-minute episode of all the ones that they've got up there on this mm-hmm. premiere week, my favorite one was probably it's one called Gabe and Max Need Help with Max Silvestri and Gabe Delahaye. And again, I'm not casting aspersions on any of the other great comedic talent and the guaranteed laughs that you will have, but this was my favorite. So I was very excited that we got to talk to one of the stars and creators, Gabe Delahaye.
Let's play it.
Let's come on, Magic Interview Machine. Give me Gabe Delahaye. Hey, everybody. Grimshay still here and still here with Marquee, but now here with Gabe Delahaye. Gabe, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Not bad. Did I just butcher your name
in the background?
There?
I don't know if you can hear that. No, you did pretty good, Gabe Delahaye. You were, very close.
Well, that's all I was shooting for.
Yeah. And your, right, well, your name is Grimshaw?
Well done. Well played. let's see. Where were we now? You've already of course, what everybody wants to know. Let's just cut right to the chase.
Please.
What's Max Silvestri like in real life? Is he dreamy?
He's great. Max Silvestri is a real dreamboat. He's... You know, all joking aside, he is one of the funniest, smartest, nicest people I've ever known. And I am very glad to be real friends with him in real life, just two real friends.
Oh, that's touching.
Yeah.
And fitting, because
that's what it's about.
That's what life's about.
No, but that's what the skit is about.
Oh, yeah, and that too.
Yeah.
And that too. Yeah, of course, we're talking about the new web series, just gone live on thundershorts.com, Gabe and Max Need Help.
Right.
And
yes.
I actually, and we're talking to a lot of people involved in this rollout, and so I've seen all the premiere episodes, and
great.
I'm not even lying when I tell you. You guys got my favorite one.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say. And I am sure you did not say that to any of the other people that you interviewed. I take it straight to the heart. No, that's nice of you, though. Thank you. Even if you're lying, it's nice of you. It's a very nice lie.
Oh, yeah. No, we just talked to Ted Alexandro. I didn't even respond.
Yeah. It's
right.
Actually like we
right.
didn't see it at all.
Yep, just a radio cold shoulder.
Sounds like fun. Sounds like fun for your listeners.
I think just in case... Because it's so brand new, and just in case no one's seen this yet, but they should, this is about two friends that go to couples counseling. That's the whole show, right? Do I have it right?
Yeah, you nailed it. That's
okay.
Exactly
all
right.
Yeah, and you even get some great talent in for the counselor in Camille Nanjiani. I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Okay.
We were very lucky that he agreed to do it, and it was really fun. I mean, it feels like a really cliche thing to just say how much fun it was to work with him and work all together, but it was. It was like the funnest day that I've had in a long time, just sitting in a room. Because we shot was that we did all four of them in one day. Like, we just cranked out all of them. It took longer after the fact to, like, put them together and edit them and stuff, but the shooting took place in one day, and it was a very fun day. A lot of laughs in that room.
Ooh, I believe that. It's not unlike some of the other web series here on Thunder Shorts. It's basically a few very talented comedians stuck in a room together for 5 minutes.
Right.
Obviously, there's some bare-bones script, but also there's got to be riffing. There's got to be 8 hours of
so
raw footage
riffing
that you get 20 minutes of shows out of.
That's about right. There was a lot of riffing. And our editor did a really good job, I think, of weaving together the riffs and the scripted stuff. But it was, yeah, it was really fun. We hope to do more of them. That would be great. We would love to do a million. I mean, maybe not a million, but like close to a million.
I would be lying to you if I said that there's a personal connection with this particular skit, in that I have often said, whether to myself or out loud and to a group of people, that you really cannot pick your friends. A lot of times you're just kind of stuck with these people, and this whole skit seems to kind of play on that idea that, you know, you are stuck with this guy and you're just going to make it work even if you have to go to counseling. Can you kind of explain the whole process of where this idea came up?
Well, as you know, when you make a web video, there's only money to be in one room ever. So we were very specifically trying to come up with. We were really trying to – we have a few ideas of stuff we want to do at some point, but we knew that, you know, where we're at with and what people's budgets are like, that the best chance we would have is something that we could – that was very repeatable and that you could just do in like a tight – you know, do in one location so that we could do it the way we did it, which is like shoot a bunch of them in one day, especially because right now I live in L.A. and Max lives in New York right now. We used to both live in New York, but it's harder to get together to make stuff. So – that was part of it, was literally just the logistics of how to shoot together. And then it was just an idea that we had. I think it's very funny and very silly to have two friends, because friends fight about stuff the way that everyone, I mean, they do have a relationship and they have their issues. And it was just a funny idea to us to make that very literal. But I don't know if I agree with you. I think you can pick your friends. Like, I think you are allowed to. It's harder to pick, like, your family and stuff. But your friends, you get to pick them. Like, you should, if you don't like them, you should get rid of them. I've dumped a lot of friends.
Yeah. Sure. Well, that kind of points to, you know, like a method of you know, exclusion. It's difficult to add a new friend. But if it comes down to it, yeah, you can drop one in a heartbeat. And you can kind of, you know, you can say, my friends are the least worst people who tried to get around me.
Yeah.
So maybe that's right. The goal that we've all got socially.
I think you're right. I think as you get older, it is harder to make new friends. But you can definitely get rid of the dead weight ones. And I highly recommend it. Life is a lot better without people you don't like in it.
True.
Is there any basis in, like, I mean, have you ever heard of a couple of friends actually going to a counseling session?
You know, last night Thunder Shorts had their premiere party and launch event, and I was talking to these two people, these two very nice people who work at Yelp. Check out Yelp, it's great. But these two people from Yelp were at the party, and we were talking, and this woman was like, is that real? Like, not, I mean, she knew that the video was not a documentary, but she was like, is that like a real thing? Like, have you guys done that? And I was like, no. That's ridiculous. No one has done that. And she said, and she was like, oh, because I was wondering if guys do that, because she said girls do it. And she said that she had two girlfriends who went to therapy together, which is crazy.
See, I knew it.
I did not know that. I did not know that anyone has done that ever. But apparently someone actually has done it.
Wow. See, I just had a feeling that I'll bet you somebody's done this.
Okay, Mark. Let's not have this discussion in front of Gabe. We'll go to counseling.
Somebody should learn to treat me better is what I
can't. I'm sorry about that.
It's all right. I accept your apology.
what you're describing is like where you have to work within the logistics that you have, and you have to tailor your storytelling and your structure around what you have available. It brings us to this discussion that we've been having today about the new kind of television. It's like it's trying to rebirth itself, sort of through streaming and internet. Netflix is chipping away at the traditional networks. We're watching more on our laptops than our television sets. Do you feel any responsibility for the way TV is going to be in 5 or 10 years?
No, I have absolutely nothing to do with any of it. But but also, like, I don't know if I really – I mean, I feel like that is a very current discussion that is being had, and I don't know if I ever really buy it. Like, I know that, you know, Netflix spent, like, $100 million on the pilot of House of Cards, and Amazon pays, you know, network rates to all of their writers and directors and everything. So it is, like, a different platform for seeing it. Like, you watch it on your computer maybe. But it's still, like, they're still making, they're spending the kind of money that TV spends to make TV. So I don't even know, like, how different it is. It's more like an HBO cable model, but it doesn't feel that different to me, other than I guess they release all the episodes on the same day, but I don't know. It seems like,
people just want
TV. I think, like, everyone talks about how TV's dying, and it's like, people really like TV. I think people really like watching TV a lot.
Yeah, I think we're watching more than ever, in fact.
Yeah.
And I think that when people say TV is dying, they miss the idea that it's evolving, I think. And there are these financial growing pains where we're not monetizing the internet to the degree where everybody can get a big fat slice of the pie.
Right.
And there's so – it's just this dearth, this deluge of content creators out there, even though the audience is getting wider. The number of people who want to be both someone who watches stuff on the internet and also then makes their own YouTube video about it, that's growing so much too. And it's changing – I mean, obviously, big summer blockbusters are still make their money. They're not shutting the movie theaters down. NBC hasn't exactly pulled the plug yet, but they are instead buying into companies like Hulu. Mm-hmm. They're you know, HBO is quietly looking the other way while their shows are pirated to, you know, record numbers every week because they realize it's a new way that things are working. It does get them more viewers. They're just not quite sure where to get the money from them, but they don't want to scare everyone away yet. So I think it is, in my opinion anyway, this is kind of a we're in a gray area. We're either falling off a cliff or climbing up a hill or something, but there's more going on than we can understand.
Oh, for sure, I agree with that, and I don't understand, like, kids on YouTube, like, I don't, like, whatever it is that, like, teenagers are doing on YouTube is different. Like, it's straight up just a different world, and I don't get it. And you know, one likes to assume that they will just get old and turn into normal people, but they might not. Like, this might just be what it is from now on once they get in charge. It was like a lot of kids just making funny voices into direct to camera and stuff.
Which, and that may become, you know, a defining part of the new norm, you know, at least until their kids get a hold of their own YouTube.
The new norm is also a new show on CBS this fall.
That's so true, yeah. Oh, well, and you know, they just beat you to it. Well, you know, what Thundershorts.com is really doing here is it's basically giving a avenue to creative people to actually generate the content and a way to kind of get them credit and to get them a little bit of money at the end of it too, because we can leave the silly videos of balls getting kicked or whatever to the YouTube, to the kids, but what Thundershorts is actually doing is trying to collect an actual place. It's a whole network. It's just in a different realm. And it's bringing you great content like Gabe and Max Need Help. It's bringing you Teacher's Lounge. It's bringing you
American Viral.
American Viral.
Showalter one.
Don't Walk is mm-hmm. I think, the other one. So, yeah, I think we are on the we are on the cusp of something. And finally, there's kind of a way to separate the kicks in the balls with actual real creative content that our guest brings us on a weekly basis. So good for you.
That's right.
Unless the next episode is just you and Max kicking each other in the balls, in which case we're sorry, and we'll still watch it.
Well, yeah, I don't want to give anything away, so we'll just have to wait and see.
All right. You know, as long as we got back to Gabe and Max, I got to ask you, is TaskRabbit a real thing?
Oh, yeah. TaskRabbit's for sure a real thing. I learned about it from Max. Like, Max is the one who – actually – well, it doesn't matter who I learned it from, but I think I know Max uses it all the time. I've used it a couple times since then. I hired someone on TaskRabbit to come build a chair. I hired someone on TaskRabbit to help me move a piece of furniture. So yeah, you can have them like clean your house. You can have them go shopping for you. It's basically like you can just set a price for how much less valuable someone else's time is than yours. You're like, well, my time is more valuable than yours, so I'm going to pay you $0 to do something I don't want to do.
Is there any kind of screening process, or do you just take whoever, or you just pay and bring in whoever says
no? Yes. So you post it. I mean, it is weird how we have basically just become an ad for TaskRabbit, but I don't think that was our original intention, was just to become a spokesman for TaskRabbit, but you can post, you post stuff on there, and people will say, yes, I'll do that job. And I think you have to accept them. Like, I think, like, you still get to say, like, no, I want to keep looking, I think. Or there might be a button you push where you have to accept them. But they all have, like, reviews and stuff. And it gives you, like, their phone number and their email. And it's, so they're pretty well vetted, I think. It's not just, like, a creep off the street who agrees to do gross things for you. It's all, like, people who have actual experience, like, with carpentry, if you need a carpenter. Like, you, the people seem to have some kind of skill base. I don't know where it comes from. But, yeah, well, TaskRabbit, I mean, A++.
That still blows my mind. Also, okay, when you say you had someone come over and build you a chair, I don't know why I'm fixated on this. Are we talking like a chair from IKEA that needed to be put together, or is there a block of wood?
No,
and like
closer
leather.
To the IKEA model. It was nicer than IKEA. Like, I don't want to get into my personal life, but it was a nicer chair than an IKEA chair.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, it was like an upholstered chair that needed the base. The base came unattached, and I needed to attach the base, and I didn't want to drill holes in my new chair. So I hired someone who knew how to do that.
And I promise to put this to bed, but what does that pay? I'm just curious.
I paid the TaskRabbit $30 or maybe $35 to come over and build the chair.
Wow.
And he – and I think TaskRabbit, like with all those sites, like they take a cut. So I think I hired him to do something else later. I hired the same guy because he was really nice and really good. I hired him to install something, and he – I just reached out to him directly because by then I had his email. So I was like, just come over and I'll give you the money so that you get all of it instead of going through TaskRabbit.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
So you can make friends. It's a great way to make friends.
And there we go. We brought it right back.
There you go.
That's almost frightening. On second thought, I don't think I'll use it. But I'm glad this is something new for me to learn.
Yeah, you should use it. Just use it.
I mean, we'll see.
Why are you being so difficult?
I'm thinking right now as we speak, there's somebody getting their feelings hurt on TaskRabbit because, you know, so person A just said, for $15, will someone come pick up all this dog shit in my yard? And he said yes, and person A then said, I'm going to keep looking. I can't think of a more dehumanizing interaction than that, and I don't want to be that guy.
I never thought of it that
down.
Way.
Yeah, getting turned out. Really? Then what do? You say, I'll do it for 10.
You're negotiating on picking up dog shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to be in either.
I think that's just you. I think you're just reflecting your own issues. I don't think people get that picky about the dog shit people.
Well, I try to vet a little more, but But that's just me making a bad pun. All right, well, I think we probably beat that puppy to death. What else you got to plug for us, Gabe? I know we've already talked thundershorts.com to death,
mm-hmm.
though I
yeah,
love it.
I mean,
everyone should be there.
Yeah, go to thundershorts.com. We're really excited about this series. I mean, we've been, I think Matt, it's the best thing that Max and I have ever done together, but I think it's really sort of the best thing that, one of the best things either of us has just done, period. We're really excited about it. So that's all I'm going to plug. I don't want to plug anything else. Just watch that. That's
simple
enough.
Sure. That's more than enough. That's more than these cretins deserve.
Yeah.
All right. Monsters.
And if you don't have time to watch it, you can find somebody that'll watch it for you. So
right.
we'll it all counts. It's all web hits.
Oh, also follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. You got to follow me.
On Twitter.
I'm just
kidding. And what is your Twitter feed? What is it? At what?
At Gabe Delahaye.
All right.
On
that
Twitter.
Makes sense to me.
I like it. We'll see you in the Twitter sphere. We'll see you on thundershorts.com. And maybe one day I'll show up at your house and, I don't know, fix a faucet for you or something.
Perfect.
All right. Thanks for talking to us, Gabe. Have a good one. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for having me. All right. Thanks, guys. You too.
Take care.
Shh. Don't wake him.
Bluebeard's the grumpiest pirate afloat.
We're supposed to cheer him up.
Who goes there?
Snap, crackle, pop.
Sir?
State your business, mates.
To put fun into your morning.
What be fun?
Kellogg's Rice Krispie Cereal.
It's fun to put Snap, crackle, pop into your morning.
Part of this complete breakfast.
A talking treasure.
Sir, where do pirates come from?
Pittsburgh. Where else?
And once again, if you're just joining us, we just finished talking to Gabe Delahaye from Thundershorts.com's own Gabe and Max Need Help. Hilarious
one,
show. I love it.
Yeah,
I
think it's
it.
Hilarious, too. There's, and actually, it didn't even occur to me until just a moment ago, of all the guests that we're going to bring you today and of all the shorts that we've seen, all the skits are really, they've really tapped into a very realistic thread of a possibility of, you know, it's all right there. You know, you got the teacher's lounge one, and then you have this one, which was, you know, it's this idea that, you know, you are with your friend, you're stuck with your friend, and you don't have to be there, but these guys have decided to stay together,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to couples counseling, which is, it's ridiculous. It is a ridiculous thing. But I don't know. I think it's very possible that people do this. And we had a chance to ask them. And, yeah, apparently.
Apparently girls do it.
Girls do it.
Yeah.
Of course they do. They want to talk all the time.
That's the things you learn between that and TaskRabbit. Very informative. But he also, I was very glad he had some interesting insight into the whole discussion of where TV is going.
Yeah. I think he had the most.
He had the best, I think, defense of of the people who say it's really not changing. You know, and you know, he admitted there's, you know, it's obviously evolving somehow. But he said, you know, just kind of the same take that you're on, Marquis.
Right.
That,
right.
That no, the content has to be there. It has to be a certain level, and it's. The distribution may change, but nothing else really needs to.
Well, see, I'm very anti-reality TV.
Mm.
And you can't call sports reality TV. I mean, people do that sometimes. It's not the same thing. I don't like putting people in a situation and filming them as if it's real life. I completely disagree with it.
Mm.
I want television that brings out somebody's creative side in some meaningful way. I like directors to direct, writers to write, actors to act. You know, that's what I want to see. And that still takes, you know, time, treasure, talent. It takes art to make that happen.
It does.
That's not going to go anywhere.
But it's, you know, and again, my point is I think it has to change. I think it will change.
But
it's just my point because there's so much other – we as an audience still only have – so much time in our day, but now you could just surf YouTube and see, as you said, people getting kicked in the balls, babies playing with kittens, babies kicking kittens in the balls.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that out there that people are watching.
But what makes
so?
Good, I mean, it doesn't even have to be called television. Let's just call it X. What makes good X is the same thing. whether it's on your phone or in a theater or anything. You know, it could, you know, if it's a live show, it's still the director and a script and actors, you know, like it's the same materials. It's just presented to you in a different way. And that's okay. I think both of these things are kind of meeting. They've been doing it. It's been happening. I think Thunder Shorts is the latest. It's standing on the shoulders of giants here, mm-hmm. but I think it's onto something here. You know, it's sitcom humor with very talented people, and it's on thundershorts.com.
Yeah, you're referring to American Viral.
American
on
Viral.
Thundershorts.com, right? The new Michael Showalter.
Michael Showalter, exactly.
Not to be confused with the Michael Showalter Showalter.
That's still him, but that's
just a different web series in the past, but we're doing American Viral now. And yeah, the basic premise is that he plays the patriarch of a family that had a brief intense YouTube fame.
Right.
When one of his sons accidentally shoots his other son with a Nerf gun right in the balls.
I know, it's so funny.
And the show picks up presumably some number of years later, and he the father, played by Michael Showalter, Roger, can't let go of that. He wants to recreate it. He wants to live in
he
that little
re-energize.
15 minutes of fame that he had. And it's a brilliant, brilliant concept.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to keep watching it to see where it goes and how he teases it along. Obviously a very talented man, Michael Showalter, from The State on MTV back in the 90s, and has been working pretty much nonstop since, you know, between Stella, Michael and Michael Have Issues.
You're missing the big one.
Wet Hot American Summer.
That's what I wanted to hear.
A cult film that
stars everybody.
I hate saying cult for stuff like this because I like it. I consider myself a fan, and I don't want to be part of a cult.
You are because you're one of the few.
And this takes us almost to the end, Mark. Obviously, you and I did not change television today.
No, we are mere cogs in the machine.
I don't even know if we're cogs at this point, but we're you know, you and I don't make TV.
No, I guess
you're
right.
We never have, no. But we do watch the hell out of it.
Our passions fuel television.
Mm-hmm.
We do make TV, pal. You don't give yourself enough credit.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right because maybe all of this, just the way I feel that I deep down feel like the studios, everybody with the money and the studios and the cameras and the cast and the writers, they need to accept that it's changing and do more. And maybe that's just me kind of lashing out saying, you know what? I am never going to be a TV star, but I'm always going to be a TV watcher. So give me what I want, or I'm going on the internet and just taking it.
Yeah. Make it affordable.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it is my way of thumbing my
ubiquitous.
Nose at the man here.
Yeah, just get it out to us. Yeah.
But it's the way I feel. I think it is changing, and it's not a matter of whether or not it happens. It's a matter of when, and that will just be facilitated by the people upstairs saying, all right, we need to look at this differently. We got to stop charging $90 for a VHS tape of a Burt Reynolds movie.
Finally.
You know, they've got to make that next concession to say, this is changing. It's not getting better. It's not getting worse. This is just a different ecosphere for television.
There was a time where we were all hooked to that same picture that we use for our logo, you know, for the Saturday morning cereal. We yep. had that TV. And then it went to this little black
yeah,
box.
Yeah, they put the cable box on it.
Yeah, it was
and then you had to work
it,
your
it,
VCR.
It actually had a wire
it.
On it. Remember,
and
it
you was, had to put your TV on 3, your VCR on 4, and then work the black box until finally the manufacturers made better TVs. The channels got better. Everything just kept growing, and it's still going on now.
VHS,
it just made huge leaps with the internet.
UHF, VHF, or those signals. I forget what the hell they were called.
Yeah, you got them.
They're gone. It's all digital now.
Yeah.
It's literally
gone. They took it away. The government owns them now.
Yeah.
Don't get on them.
TV is completely different than when it was, and it wasn't that long ago.
That's right.
Jackie Gleason and shit, that's the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in my parents' lifetime.
It's a completely different medium,
yeah.
In my opinion, because it's growing and because it's changing. And you don't know what it's going to be in 5 years. I can just, the only thing I think we can say, the only thing that stays the same is that everybody keeps changing. And you're not going to be able to stop this train.
Make it good content.
Yeah. Yeah. Throw down the gauntlet. Make it good, and maybe we'll keep watching for free.
Thundershorts.com, everybody. Woo!
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Oh, this is enough of this.
Don't forget, for your chance to win one of the Thundershorts.com prize packs, including boxers, shot glasses, sunglasses, and tramp stamps, just send us an email at SaturdayMorningSerial@Yahoo.com. And don't forget to check us out from time to time down at MattyPRadio.com.
In a world where a couple geeks grow up watching Saturday morning cartoons. And now they're adults, but they still want to talk about cartoons and movies and TV and comics and all kinds of geek stuff. And sometimes they talk to girls and drink rum and swear a lot.
Go crazy. Lose your freaking mind.
Hey, oh great. You mean lose my fucking mind.
Hell yeah, I do.
Hey everybody, Grim Shay here. Please join me and Mark E. Saturday mornings for Matty P. Presents Saturday Morning Serial, where we look back fondly and pay homage to those original happy hours as a kid. Saturday morning, up at 6 a.m., getting loaded with a bunch of cereal and just parking it in front of the TV. Tell them, Uncle Ruckus.
Why, folks, let me tell you something. There's no greater joy in life than to listen to that damn Grim and Barky. But do not listen to them if they're talking to a colored man. It will ruin your day.
Oh, damn it, Uncle Ruckus. And don't forget, anytime you need that Saturday morning cereal fix, anytime, 24 hours a day, you head on over to MattyPRadio.com and click, 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 follow those links. We got them all up there anytime you want to hear them, which includes our most recent episode, our special WonderCon preview show. So if you're getting in that convention mode, come on over. Give us a listen. Anything you want to add, Marquis?
Oh, this is enough of this.
In a world where a couple geeks grow up watching Saturday morning cartoons. And now they're adults, but they still want to talk about cartoons and movies and TV and comics and all kinds of geek stuff. And sometimes they talk to girls and drink rum and swear a lot.
Go crazy. Lose your freaking mind.
Hey, oh great. You mean lose my fucking mind.
Hell yeah, I do. Hey everybody, Grim Shay here. Please join me and Mark E. Saturday mornings for Matty P. Presents Saturday Morning Serial, where we look back fondly and pay homage to those original happy hours as a kid. Saturday morning, up at 6 a.m., getting loaded with a bunch of cereal and just parking it in front of the TV. Tell them, Uncle Ruckus.
Why, folks, let me tell you something. There's no greater joy in life than to listen to that damn Grim and Barky. But do not listen to them if they're talking to a colored man. It will ruin your day.
Oh, damn it, Uncle Ruckus. Join us this week on Matty P. Presents Saturday Morning Serial as we celebrate the return of TNT's Falling Skies with roundtable discussions with stars Sarah Carter, Seychelle Gabrielle, Moon Bloodgood, and the incomparable Doug Jones, plus our exclusive interview with star Connor Jessup. So take that, Chicken Little. For details, check out MattyPRadio.com.
In a world where a couple geeks grow up watching Saturday morning cartoons. And now they're adults, but they still want to talk about cartoons and movies and TV and comics and all kinds of geek stuff. And sometimes they talk to girls and drink rum and swear a lot.
Go crazy. Lose your freaking mind.
Hey, oh great. You mean lose my fucking mind.
Hell yeah, I do. Hey everybody, Grim Shay here. Please join me and Mark E. Saturday mornings for Matty P. Presents Saturday Morning Serial, where we look back fondly and pay homage to those original happy hours as a kid. Saturday morning, up at 6 a.m., getting loaded with a bunch of cereal and just parking it in front of the TV. Tell them, Uncle Ruckus.
Why, folks, let me tell you something. There's no greater joy in life than to listen to that damn Grim and Barky. But do not listen to them if they're talking to a colored man. It will ruin your day.
Oh, damn it, Uncle Ruckus. And if you guys ever need your Saturday morning cereal fix any time of the day or night, whatever you're doing, wherever you are, all you got to do is go on over to MattyPRadio.com. We've got them all up there, including our most recent, a nice long talk with a lot of the people behind Legends of the Night, the new Batman documentary, and so much more. MattyPRadio.com. Get over there. Click, click, click. Follow those links. There's nothing but good stuff to find. Mark E., you got anything you want to add?
Oh, this is enough of this.